Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello. Everyone, welcome to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. Dealing with some technical issues, and I also don't have Heather with me today, but we are going to just go ahead with it. I decided to change the topic, I'm sorry, of the podcast today. I really, really wanted to talk about dealing with trauma responses. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be talking about dealing with trauma responses within relationships. You know, if you can see me and hear me okay, please comment. I do check the comments as I'm going through this. And if you feel like your spouse has been dealing with trauma, or if any of the things that we talk about today do sound familiar, let us know. We would love to answer some questions and love to give you some support with that. Now, for our client win of the week, this comes from permission from Daniel. Daniel says, I have a huge win I want to announce. Less than a month ago, she wanted nothing to do with me and divorced immediately with no other options and had moved out to her parents' house with our daughter. Now she's talking about possibly pulling divorce off the table and just doing a legal separation and still dating during it. This is a big win, Daniel, for Daniel, and obviously that's a really quick turnaround with 1 month. And it tells me that, you know, I can tell just from a few things from that brief post that Daniel's partner there may still be a little bit hesitant, but it seems like she's willing to give this a chance, and I think it's going to be up to Daniel to really solidify that from this point forward, but it's still a really great turnaround here. So we're going to leave the topic of manipulation and attraction to next week. That's a lot of what we posted in the Facebook group and some of the questions that we had asked. But like I said, I wanted to change the topic to dealing with trauma responses because I've been talking quite a bit with clients recently that are dealing with this. And I thought, okay, if I'm seeing several clients that are dealing with this, I imagine that there's other people too that are also dealing with this sort of situation. It's a situation that really tanks a lot of relationships, especially if there's been some issues with poorly handling past trauma. It can have a big impact on the current relationship. So what do I mean by this? Like, what am I talking about? So basically, like, things happen to people, right? We have things like abuse and neglect and affairs and maybe terrible childhoods. Maybe there's been intense fights. Maybe there's been something else. Maybe it's you've been abandoned or you've been whatever. Those are terrible things, and they obviously hurt. People generally have to find ways to mentally deal with those terrible things. And in some cases, the individual doesn't process what happens and tends to hold on to that trauma. And the result ends up being there are these intense triggers and emotional outbursts to otherwise normal or benign situations. And this is what we call the trauma response. When the situation doesn't warrant the reaction that is happening, whether that's an overly emotional reaction or an overly negative interpretation of the other partner's intentions. So we have a few examples here. You know, one example would be maybe an individual who's been sexually abused gets really, really highly upset when their current partner is wanting to engage in sex, you know, the person who hasn't abused them. I've seen that quite a bit. Another example might be someone who has been cheated on may view any remotely suspicious actions as attempts to cheat. maybe you've gone to the gym and maybe you chatted with someone of the opposite sex, and now your partner's like, you're trying to cheat on me. You know, the reaction is way over the top. Or maybe, you know, I heard about this a few days ago, a partner who's crying in the closet because an argument resulted in, you know, like some intense disagreements and some raised voices. Like, yeah, I mean, the intense arguments can be very difficult, but sometimes like the emotional response is way too much for what has happened. Now, most of these example responses do make sense under a certain context. Like if you've been used to being abused and your partner raises their voice, it might make sense to go and hide and to like be like to really check out. If you've been cheated on with your current partner and they're doing some suspicious behavior, okay, it makes sense to be suspicious a little bit. If you've been sexually abused in the current relationship, then it makes sense to get really upset when they're trying to engage in sexual relationship. So like under certain contexts, these reactions do make sense, which is like what is kind of insidious about this when you're not in that situation or you're not in that same relationship anymore. Because it has this long-lasting effect on future and other relationships sometimes. You know, the problem happens there, like when these kind of responses are happening at other times that aren't in the context of that dangerous situation. So what would this look like? What kind of things do we sometimes see when there are some really big trauma responses or triggers to this trauma? Very typical, we might see intense emotional reactions to normal situations. We might see like really heavy shutting down, refusing to talk, that 1,000-yard stare when you're discussing relatively minor problems or issues. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. Like you're talking to your partner and they're just, you know, quiet and they're staring off into like the void as if there's something out there and they just rather focus on anything else rather than what's going on right here. We also see very low tolerance to discuss difficult matters or to problem solve when problems arise. We might see extreme negative views of self, lots of insecurity, intense worry of being inadequate or displeasing people. We also might see assumptions that the other person is working against them when they're really not. Perhaps they have a lot of doubt around their partner's love or commitment when that partner's really trying hard. Or maybe difficulty in accepting compliments, love, affection, or positivity, even in the face of a lot of reassurement. And to hear, like, here's all these situations that essentially the unifying theme is this perception of danger, of intensity, of all this like bad stuff when that's not happening. And that's what this is about. And I do think that in some cases, when a relationship is in decline, it is because of that. It's because this trauma response is being triggered, even though the current partner might not have been the one that's causing those problems. So what can you do to help support a spouse who is reacting to that past trauma? This can often feel really tricky. It can feel very difficult. Because, you know, I've talked to these partners who are saying, like, my husband, my wife is really responding intensely, and I have no idea what to do. When I apologize, they blame me. And they say, you know, that apologies don't mean anything. And or when I try to do something right, they just see it as me trying to manipulate them. And there's just no correct response, it seems. So I want to help with that a little bit. And I want to at least give you some tips. Now, I do want to say that the tips that I'm going to share are, it's a good start. They are good principles to keep in mind. And at the same time, this is one of those scenarios that I would highly, highly recommend that you try to get some support here and some help, because this is going to be a really difficult issue to work through. And I'm seeing some of the comments here, like Donna saying, like she's recognizing a lot of that panic from the loss of the marriage and all that. That's a great place to be, to at least recognize that this is happening. Just looking at some of the comments here. So what we do here, I do want to say that, like, first, right off the bat, that in many cases, you know, if you're not the one who has caused the trauma, I'm going to say, hey, it's not your fault. I do want to point that out. It's not your fault always if your partner is reacting really terribly. It's not fair. There are things that you can do to support them, but I do want to say, hey, it may not feel fair, and it may actually not be fair. But if you really want to support your partner, that's, I can understand that. So, some tips. First, you got to be patient and understanding. Remember that your spouse's reactions are not a reflection of their feelings towards you, but a response to their trauma. You really need to be patient and understanding when your spouse is triggered, and avoid taking their behavior personally. This may be hard, especially if your spouse is putting the blame on you. If they're saying, you should know better, you shouldn't know that this triggers me, or even, you know, that's a fairly even reasonable response. If they're aware of their trauma, they might not even be that reasonable. But it's good to step into this kind of understanding, hey, a lot of the reaction might not, you know, reflect their feelings towards you. And the more that you can tell yourself that, it becomes a little bit easier to approach the situation with a level head, which is what they really need. Tip number two is to make sure that there is some validation of feelings. Now, validation is a fine line to walk. I'm not suggesting that you accept the blame, or you say that they're right, or that you just put a blanket statement out there saying, you know, you're absolutely right, I did, you know, hurt you. And I'm not trying to say that. Something that we say a lot here with High Thrive is feelings are always valid. How we come to those feelings may not be. So you're going to want to let your spouse know that you do understand their feelings, and that their trauma and those feelings are valid. You want to reassure them that they're not alone and that you are there to support them. And that's really important. So your partner who's reacting, saying, you're trying to manipulate me, you're this terrible person, say, hey, look, this sounds really hard. This sounds terrible. I can see that you're hurt. But, you know, I want to be here for you, and I want to support you. And you hear in saying this, and I know you all might not be experiencing this, but you see how, like, my language, my tone, there's a lot of reassurance there as I'm validating. It can be really helpful to validate feelings, even if you are challenging their interpretation. And often this may be important in helping to step away from trauma responses. So, for example, you might say, hey, I can see that you're feeling abandoned. That must feel really hard. But my intention is to support you as long as you want me to help. My intention is not to, you might elaborate, my intention is not to abandon you. They're saying, you're just saying that. You say, it's this reassurance. It's this validation. You're hurt. I get this. I see that. This is what I'm trying to do. And it's that compare and contrast. Another example, you might say, hey, I can see that what I did was really upsetting to you. right now I want to take some action to help calm things down. I can go take care of a few things if you need me to step away, and I would really love to talk with you when you're ready. Do you hear in both the examples, I'm being very clear of what I want, and you know, like the solution-oriented talk. I want to talk with you when you're ready. My intention is to support you as long as you want me to help. I would like to move this forward. I would like to, this sort of confident response, reassuring response, this very like proactive action sort of response is very reassuring in these cases. And it helps reframe the situation into a much more positive state. Third tip, make sure that you are respecting boundaries. You might not understand why they are reacting the way that they are, but if certain behaviors or situations trigger your spouse, you need to respect their boundaries and avoid those triggers as best as you can. You may need to work with them to find ways to avoid triggering situations or to handle them in a way that's less traumatic for your spouse. But if they're saying, I can't deal with this right now, I can't talk right now, it's good to try and respect those boundaries. Even if you're saying, hey, I want to come back to this a little bit later and I want to fix things, but I can take a step away because that sounds like that's what you need right this moment. And to hear my language is like, hey, I'm still being that confident, proactive sort of person in my language, even if I'm, you know, respecting that boundary for right now. I'm moving it in a good direction while being, you know, recognizing that they might not be in a state ready to work things out. Throughout all this, you know, I've been giving a lot of like examples of very reassuring language. And I want to make sure that as you know, if this is something that you are dealing with, that you are very sure what you are trying to communicate. I do think clear communication, and especially around intentions, motivation, and goals, is highly, highly important. If you recall, like just a moment ago, we were saying one of the things that is very common in these sort of situations is this assumption of negative intentions, we'll just go with that. It can be really reassuring if you are consistent with your communication around that. So telling them, hey, I want to be here for you. Hey, I can see that you're hurt. It's my intention to fix things and to help calm this down. That clear communication and be like expressing that directly so that your partner doesn't have to fill in the blank so much and possibly interpret it negatively can be very reassuring. I do think that it's important in many of these cases, you know, when they are a little bit more calm, to really encourage some professional help, because it can really help with finding the right tools to calm themselves down. Mostly today I'm talking about like how do you support your spouse, but I do very much think that, you know, if there's been a lot of trauma and there's a lot of reactivity to that, if there's a lot of triggers, it's best practice to encourage and support getting professional mental health. So I hope this was helpful to someone out there. If this was helpful, just, you know, going over some things, like just understanding that, hey, this happens to some people, you're not alone in this, let me know. If you have some questions about it, please put it in the comments. I would love to hear from you. And if you want perhaps for us to talk about some piece of this, or you have a specific situation that you think is a little bit more unique, let us know in the comments. We always read the comments, and we do often come up with like the topics of our discussion based off of what you all are telling us. So, like I said, hope that was helpful. Today's marriage mythbuster is reconciliation means forgetting about the past. Very, very applicable to our topic. So before we move on to that, I just want to say, hey, if you are really struggling, just put in the comment section like that you have a question that you're like, you can put in help. We do have a team that checks for these sort of things and can help assess the situation and see if, you know, like perhaps if you're needing a little bit of extra support, whether our program is perhaps a good fit for you. But yes, on to the marriage mythbuster. Like I said, reconciliation means forgetting about the past. So as always, we take these myths from comments that we hear, from client interactions, from beliefs that we see out there in the wild. So this is absolutely something that I've seen on multiple occasions. And I will say that there's a huge misconception about this. This is a myth. So let's talk for a moment about what forgetting about the past really means. I do think that when people are saying this, I don't think that they actually mean what they're saying. Most people, when they bring this up as a goal, it's more about something else. They don't want perhaps ongoing blame or ongoing hurt, or they don't want to continue to feel a lack of trust or any number of these other negative situations. Further, they might want things to go back to the way they were. And essentially, like the request is to act like that, as though whatever happened didn't happen. And I will tell you, though, that while that is possible, while you can put on this front that bad things didn't happen, I would say reconciliation most often means actually processing through the past and processing through everything that has happened. Otherwise, this becomes a situation where you're sweeping things under the rug and you're creating a situation where you're very likely to have everything explode later on down the line. So while like the ideal here, like it would be easy to say, hey, let's forgive and forget and let's just move on. Like that might feel easier and it might say it's simple for me. I just don't think about it and then I move on. It's not a healthy practice. And I would say that's definitely not a standard for reconciliation, especially in a professional setting, especially in a relationship that you want to be healthy on the long term. Now, does that mean that you can't get there? I do think that you can get to the point where you can reconcile with a partner, that you can forgive and forget, but that all I'm saying here is it's a process. And I don't want people to expect this to be the outcome right off the bat. That's a bit unrealistic. So if you like our video, please let us know. Make sure that, you know, we'd appreciate it if you head over to our YouTube channel, you like and subscribe. It does help us out just a little bit. And let us know what you'd like us to talk about. Next week, we are going to come back to the original topic, that of attraction versus manipulation, and like really the difference in, you know, like all about those mind games that happen as we're trying to perhaps put things back together. So once again, thank you all for keeping in or tuning in here and listening to me for a bit, and I will catch you all next week.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.